From KERA in Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton, it's anything you ever wanted to know. Good afternoon. I'm Jeff Whittington. Telephone number is 800-933-5372. The email address, of course, anything@kera.org. We are live today taking your questions. It is Friday, the 17th of May, 2013. And as I said, we're doing the show live today. Hey, we're doing the show membership campaign free today as well. Thanks to all of you who gave last week, the week before, and even the week before. The show was on three times during the spring membership campaign, and so many of you called, so many of you gave online. Thank you so very much to everybody who supported KERA over, well, it ended last Friday, so the couple of weeks before last Friday. Really means a lot. And the station is here for you as a result. You can call us now to ask a question or answer a question. The number is 800-933-5372. The email address, anything@kera.org. And that's where we got these. And some of these are from last week, and some of them are fresh today. Theo's wondering where to get a banana or plantain plant for his backyard. 800-933-5372. For that matter, will a banana or plantain grow here in North Texas? I bet it might. You might have to move it. You know, you might have to move it in the winter into a greenhouse or into the garage or something, but someone will know. 800-933-5372. Email anything@kera.org. Candace writes, somewhere over Highway 183 and 161 in Irving on April 28th, around 8 or 8:30 p.m., there were six or eight of, and Candace says, at a distance, what looked like parachutes with lights on them swaying back and forth in the sky. But as they came closer to the ground, they looked more like large black paper bags on fire. Candace says, I believe there was something, maybe a helicopter that was flying over at the same time. I saw those things in the sky. Does anybody have any idea what they might have been? 800-933-5372. Email anything@kera.org. Roy in Fort Worth says, via email, driving south on Hewlin Street in Fort Worth and exiting just before you cross the Hewlin Bridge onto Vickery Boulevard to head west, you pass a tall retaining wall on your right, which had collapsed a couple of years ago, he says, but has since been replaced, and there are now a series of large one-yard squared cement blocks built into and protruding from the surface of the new wall in a sort of checkerboard pattern. Roy asks, do these protruding blocks have a specific purpose, perhaps acoustic in nature, or are they just decorative? 800-933-5372. Email anything@kera.org. Let's see. Sergey in Fort Worth writes to anything@kera.org. A friend has a decorative screen that separates his dining room and kitchen, featuring nature scenes. The issue is there are water stains on the screen that refuse to come off with conventional household cleaners. Is there a shop somewhere in Fort Worth that can either remove those stains without damaging the screen or touch up the paint to hide them? I'm not sure if it's canvas or wooden, but Sergey in Morningside in Fort Worth is waiting for your suggestions. 800-933-5372. Email anything@kera.org. Let's start with Ron in Fort Worth today. Hello, Ron.
Hi. I've been growing bananas about 17 years in Fort Worth.
Oh, yeah.
And believe it or not, they do grow well.
Nice.
You cut them down every spring to the soil. If you put enough water on them and have direct sunlight all day, they will, about every 4 years, produce a nice crop of bananas.
Wow. And is that typical, every 4 years, typically?
About every four or five. And the stalk of the bananas that produces can be 5 or 6 foot long with maybe 150 bananas. And it takes about 2 months for them to ripen on the vine. Once they do, they taste so much more superior to any store-bought banana.
And then you have to eat 150 bananas within about 5 days.
You wind up giving a lot of them away.
All right, Ron. Well, hey, so any idea where to get a banana plant?
There are some, I don't know if I can give you the actual name of the business, but
sure.
Typically in March and April, that the plant shed in Fort Worth carries them, and they're about $20, $30 a stalk, and one stalk after the first year, it's like bamboo. You'll have 20 stalks after the second or third year.
Wow. Okay. Well, hey, thanks for the info.
You bet.
All right. We also got an email at anything@kera.org who says, from someone who says, banana trees will indeed grow in North Texas. While we don't get enough frost-free winters in a row for them to fruit or maintain their peak size, they will usually grow back every year. We also heard from Carolyn in Fort Worth, who says, hey, Jeff, there's a billboard south of DFW Airport as you exit to Highway 183 East, and the billboard is a picture of a woman making a peace sign, and then it says Carolyn XO. And this Carolyn, I'm assuming it's not the same Carolyn, attached a photo. Does anyone know what this billboard is advertising? Well, if anybody knows, call us, 800-933-5372. Email anything@kera.org. Hey, Mark in Dallas, you're up next.
Howdy, I have two questions. Mm-hmm. A question is, where is Smithereens that Yosemite Sam talks about?
Okay.
And my second question is, what is the difference between an ocean and a sea?
I think a sea has to be inland. But we'll get the expert opinion of the audience on both of those.
Great.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Appreciate it.
Line open, 800-933-5372. Email anything@kera.org. This is from Juan in Fort Worth, who is wondering if there's a way to remove the restriction for computer games to use the disc to play them. He says, I have an old Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego game that requires the disc to play it, but I would like to completely have the game run off the hard drive on my computer. Does anybody know how to do that? 800-933-5372. Email anything@kera.org. Matt says, it's getting warm and rainy again, so it's time for pests. He says, I had my first roach run in on Wednesday in the garage. He says, naturally, I sprayed it with the standard bug spray and it scurried off. This morning, I found it dead as expected. My question is, why do roaches and many pests end up on their backs when they die? 800-933-5372. Email anything@kera.org. Up next is Dave in Fort Worth. Hello, Dave.
How are you?
Doing well.
I actually have some history with that intersection there on Vickery and Hewlin.
Uh-huh.
That thing used to, that area used to be known for dropping rocks because it was eroding. Now, they've had about three different facelifts on it over the past 20 years, and I've seen some horrible accidents in that area, but I think they're just keeping it up there to make it look pretty.
Okay.
And at the same time, yes, a sea, by the way, is all attached to an ocean. A sea has to have at least three bearings, either north, south, east, and west. Or anyway, it's a cove, and it can go as far as it wants to. And but it becomes, it's still connected to the ocean, but it becomes a sea when it has three covering. That's how I was taught. I worked in the ocean for a while, but
oh, okay.
But that Vickery area, I mean, really, there used to be. I would drive in the morning, and there'd be big rocks in the middle of the road, and I've seen some horrible accidents. So,
wow.
Thank you very much.
Hey, you bet. Thanks for calling. Steven says those blocks at Vickery and Hewlin are a decorative and purposeful retaining wall. So thanks very much, Stephen, for that. Let's see. Andy says, I listen to a lot of radio, including your show. Where do people get the idea that you can't mention a company's name on the radio? Where did the concern originate, and what's the big deal? Well, I have never worked in commercial. I've never worked in commercial broadcasting, but I think it might have originated in the commercial broadcasting world where sponsors, I'm guessing here, totally guessing, Andy, where sponsors may have been concerned about competition. Maybe that's where it originated. Maybe somebody, you know, we have a lot of commercial broadcasting folks who listen, and there's a lot of PR folks, I think, who listen, and marketing folks. Maybe they can tell us, 800-933-5372. Let's see. This is a question. We got another question from Laura about refilling an engraved perfume bottle. And this will be the third time we've asked because we got an answer. And Laura, the answer from Andrea suggests that you try the Anique Guttal counter at Neiman Marcus for perfume refills. Years ago, they used to have events a few times a year to refill collectible perfume bottles. So Andrea says, I hope this helps. And Laura, I know you emailed us again today, and hopefully, maybe you should call the folks at Neiman Marcus and see if they're still doing that, because that's the answer we got. 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Up next, let's talk to Matthew in Wiley. Hello, Matthew.
Hello.
Hi there.
My question is, when you come to a stoplight, there are some stoplights on the post that have a little storm bulb. So when the light turns red, the storm bulb turns on, and when the light turns green, the storm bulb turns off. What is the storm bulb for? It just seems like a waste to have it on the pole.
That is so that a traffic police officer ensconced somewhere in the vicinity where you can't see them can see that the light has indeed changed, and then maybe they can't see the light, the red light or the green light. But they can see you go through the intersection, and they can see the little yellow light on top of the pole go off, and they know that the light has changed, and thus you, not saying that you would run the red light, but that someone may have violated that traffic regulation.
Oh, thank you.
You bet. That's the answer we got. There's actually, and it may still be available on DallasNews.com a couple of years ago, and I think it was Steve Blow published sort of a, what are all these things on the traffic lights? Because we've had questions about the signs that are, you know, flat on top of the arms that go out over the street. Because you can see sometimes you can see from bridges and things that they have some green on them, or maybe it's an old traffic street sign, and those are there as an anti-bucking device to kind of be a, like a wind foil to keep the light arm from bucking in the wind. And those, some areas, they have those little white lights on top of the pole so that people can see. 800-933-5372 is the telephone number, and that's where we find Brad in Irving. Hello, Brad.
Hi, how are you?
Hey there. Doing well.
That's good. I have an answer for the gentleman who would like to copy a computer game onto the hard drive and be able to play it, even though it requires a disk.
Yeah.
What he has to do is look into a little piece of freeware called Daemon Tools, spelled D-A-E-M-O-N, mm-hmm. Tools. What this does is it creates a virtual CD-ROM drive. Then he can use any burning software to burn the disk, the physical disk, to an ISO file and have that virtual CD-ROM drive open it whenever he wants to play it, and the computer and Windows will see it as if it was just a regular CD-ROM drive with a disk in it.
Great. Hey, Brad, thanks for calling.
Sure thing. Thank you.
We also got, this is from Jason, who says, if you go to gamecopyworld.com and search for the game and see if you can find a patch to run the game without the CD. Let's see. This is from Andrea, who says, traveling west on Northwest Highway just before Harry Hines and right under the overpass, the right lane is always wet with water, possibly a bit of oil. Andrea says, I've traveled this route every day for the last 5 years, and the condition never changes, no matter the season, the time of the day. It's there 24/7. Andrea asks, what is the cause of this water-oil mixture, or what is it, and why is it there? Call us, 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Stay with us. More of your questions and answers coming up. It's anything you ever wanted to know. I'm Jeff Whittington, and the phone number is 800-933-5372. Our email address, anything at kera.org. Send us your answers and questions there. If you can't get through on the phone, let's talk next to Larry calling from Fort Worth. Hello, Larry.
Hi, Jeff.
Hey there.
I've got an answer for your why do bugs wind up on their backs question.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so anything, if you kill it, will settle down so that its center of mass is closest to the ground, which is the closest big attractive object that we have here on Earth.
Right.
So if you're actively balancing, you'll stand up on your feet and you can walk around, but if somebody were to kill you, you will settle down so that your body center is closest to the Earth, and a bug is the same way. When they're not actively balancing on their legs, their body mass is up high, center of gravity is high, so they'll flip over.
So they just, even if they don't struggle or anything, they'll fall over?
Well, eventually they won't be able to maintain their balance. You know, that it takes quite a bit of active balance to keep a mass up in the air. You know, and they're developing robots that walk around on legs. It's quite a bit of computing power just to keep them standing.
Very so good.
Bug is the same way. All these systems are automatic, but once they start failing, the mass will go towards the Earth.
Great. Thanks, Larry.
All right. Thank you.
We got an email on this also from Dan, who says, the roaches on their back is similar to the tipped turtle syndrome. The roaches, when they're poisoned, shake their legs, jump, and if they get on their back, they can't get back to their feet very easily, so they end up dead on their back. Let's see. Gary in Denton says, the practice of not mentioning competitors can be traced back to the, quote, old days of broadcasting due to the desire of advertisers to not mention the competition. It says, but today it's more of a legal issue, as in negatively comparing your competitor's results to your own product, but there are certain acceptable rules where the nature of your comparison is more benign, as in so-and-so's burritos will give you ptomaine poisoning, which is a definite no-no. He says, but you can't claim that customer purchases of your burritos exceed that of so-and-so. He says, but one practice about competitors that I wish we still saw comes from politics. He says, before World War II, candidates never mentioned their opponent by name, but today anything goes. And it says it's easier to personally attack a named rather than an unnamed opponent. He says, but that's another story. Well, Gary, thanks so much for that email. Let's see. Chrissy is looking for remedies of getting rid of ants. Well, I saw an ant making a foray into my kitchen on my counter the other day, and I'm assuming that it came through the easiest point of entry, which is the back porch and the back door, because I've seen them there before. And when that happens, I usually just get a little bit of diatomaceous earth, and maybe even have like an old sock with it in there and tie it off, and then kind of just, you know, dust it around the door. And then they don't come back for a while. You know, you can sweep it up too afterward, because it stays there and it gets on them, and it doesn't work out for them very well. And that just wanted to curtail all the emails we'd get about diatomaceous earth. And also want to point out that you want the garden variety. You can get it at the garden center. You do not want to mess with the pool filter variety of diatomaceous earth. You want the garden variety, and, you know, be careful with it. Wear a mask, wear goggles, don't spread it around when it's real windy and stuff like that. Up next to 800-933-5372 is Pedro in Grapevine. Hello, Pedro.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing well.
I actually work for a city.
Yeah.
And I've been in the room where they have the screen that has all the cameras that are looking at the various cars. And, well, when you look at the screen, you can see various boxes. First it's green, and then it's yellow, and these boxes surround the cars. And as the cars back up and back up, it gets to the point where they have red boxes around the cars. And this is what changes the lights. They used to automate, or they used to have basically timed lights, and then they would have, magnetic strips underneath the road
that would detect
the cars when they drive up. Now they use cameras. And one of the guys from our traffic department also told me, and I'm not sure if this is true or not, but he said that they can actually even recognize the license plates on there. So if there's a license plate of a car that's stolen or that they're looking for, it notifies the police department immediately and lets them know, hey, this particular car is at this intersection.
Hmm.
And so theoretically they could intercept that car, though I don't know if that's true or not. But, yeah, they use those cameras primarily to time the changing of the lights, and it actually can tell how backed up the lights are getting without any human interaction.
Very good. Well, hey, thanks for calling, Pedro.
Sure.
All right. Up next at 800-933-5372 is Hugh in Richardson. Hello, Hugh.
Hello. On that question about mentioning competitors on TV, back in the early days of Johnny Carson, and I'd say 1972 or so, the ABC, NBC, CBS networks did not allow Johnny Carson or anybody else to mention any other network from the network they were employed by.
Right.
And it was just not allowed.
They just pretended like the other networks didn't exist.
Right. And Johnny Carson, you know, would kind of, you know, make hints and little sly remarks about one of his guests, you know, was on a TV show on another channel, you know, but he kept it, you know, so he wouldn't be sued, I guess.
Right. Or get fired for that matter.
It was kind of funny. And somewhere along the line, I'm not sure where, I guess the networks figured out how damn ridiculous that rule was, and it just disappeared.
Right.
And of course, today, it doesn't matter. Let's see. I was going to tell you something on the ants. The diaceous earth, what that diaceous earth is, it has the little grains, granular part of them, has sharp edges, and the insects don't like the sharp edges. I guess it injures them. Like,
yeah, I think it slices them. It slices their little carapace open,
okay,
and they
so
dehydrate.
Here's something I've run into this year. I have oak trees. And my oak trees shed in the spring, late spring, big clumps of brownish stuff with seeds or some kind of grain within the brownish strings, and it sheds it on the ground. It's kind of the equivalent of Spanish moss, only it's a brownish stuff. But anyway, that stuff has a sharp edge on some of the grains, and if I put that on ant mounds and kind of stomp on it, man, the ants never come back to that spot again.
Very, anyway. Very good. Well, Hugh, thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
All right. Up next, 800-933-5372 is Chelsea in Fort Worth. Hello, Chelsea.
Hi.
Hey there.
The retaining wall on Vickery?
Yeah.
Those little squares are actually like 25-foot steel I-beams that are going in there to make sure that it doesn't fall over again.
Oh, okay. Well, so, very good.
That's about it.
Hey, thanks so much. Let's get another phone call from a patient caller. Let's talk to Sam in Dallas. Hello, Sam.
Hello. I'm calling about I have a large, maybe you would call it Jeroboam size, of a bottle of black and white Scotch whiskey, which is a collectible for people who have West Highland White Terriers, which would be the white,
right,
and the black Scotty. Therefore, we have black and white Scotch whiskey. Now, this thing is on a stand that you would use to tip the bottle, because it's so large, to pour the Scotch whiskey, but since it's a collectible, I wouldn't dare open it.
Right.
But what I need to get to is the label is beginning to wrinkle. And I was wondering if there was one of these small specialty wine shops or a place that I could take this to get the label return to
its new condition.
Right.
How old is it?
Oh, it must be, oh gosh, I've had it for 25 years.
Huh. How is the whiskey?
Well, the regular black and white Scotch whiskey I don't drink, but I wouldn't dare open this bottle.
Oh, because it's a collectible.
Because it's a collectible.
Okay. Well, Sam, we'll see if we get an answer for you.
I'd appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Thank you so much.
Let's see. Bill is looking for a paper conservator in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And maybe a paper conservator would work for the label on that collectible bottle. Let's see. Bill says, I'm looking for a paper conservator in the DFW area, specifically to remove two double elephant folio Audubon books, Audubon Birds of America prints, from backer boards and then clean them. So he's got two double elephant folio Audubon Birds of America prints, and they are attached to backer boards. So if anybody knows a paper conservator who does that, call us, 800-933-5372, or email us anything at kera.org. Dorman says, while we apply dried molasses to our lawn to expand the earthworm population, we found that it will also eliminate red ants from the lawn. And incidentally, he says, the tons of earthworms does much to loosen our black clay soil, and it makes our lawn a very favorite place for the birds to come visit for a snack. Bethany says, for what it's worth, the food and garden variety of DE, you don't have to be so cautious with it. She says it is safe for human and animal consumption, she says. Let's see. This is from Ed, who says, ants, like many insects, option air through sphericals along their abdomen. These are very small holes, and any very fine powder will suffocate. 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Let's talk next to Mike, calling from Dallas. Hello, Mike.
Hey there.
Hey there.
I have a question about ants, and specifically red ants.
Okay.
I moved to Dallas about 40 years ago, but I grew up out in Amarillo, and we had an abundance of what we called red ants. I know there's a more technical name for mm-hmm. them, but they're the big red ants. And also, we had an abundance of horned lizards out there. We call them horny toads. Since living in Dallas, one, I've never seen a horny toad around Dallas, but about 5 years ago, I moved out to the edge of Kaufman County, and I have a red ant colony out there that is now migrating around my property mm-hmm. and building different zones. We've tried everything we can think of, everything, to get rid of these guys. And I started thinking, I know that horned lizards, the Texas horny toad, mm-hmm. is a protected species now, but I'm wondering, is it legal to relocate them?
Hmm.
If, for instance, I was to ask a friend who lives down in Marathon, hey, bring me a couple of horny toads, is it legal to transport them across the state and legal to relocate them?
Right.
Because red ants thrive, or rather horny toads,
right,
thrive on eating red ants.
Now, I saw a horned lizard in my backyard in East Dallas last summer, and I was shocked because
really?
I hadn't seen one since I was a little kid, and I grew up here.
Oh, I haven't seen one in 50 years.
Yeah, I grew up here in the Dallas area, and we used to see them every once in a while, and I actually saw one in the backyard in East Dallas last year. So that was a really good sign, because
okay.
I know they've been pushed out.
They won't eat fire ants.
Right. It's because the fire ants have moved in is part of the reason. So, we'll see if somebody knows it's a very specific question, and I appreciate the, we'll see what the opinion of the listeners are. Maybe somebody knows.
I've heard of horny toads and get them up here, yeah.
All right, thanks, Mike. Line open, 800-933-5372. You can always tell when it's spring or early, you know, almost summer on the show, because we get lots of questions like this. Let's see. We have one listener who says, we've had good luck with winter hardy Basjo bananas. And this listener says they come back each spring, available on Amazon. So look up winter hardy Basjo bananas. Let's see. Van and Richardson says, we had little black ants in our kitchen last week, and I mixed Karo syrup with boric acid and applied little dots of the mixture with the back of a spoon handle on the counter. The ants ate the syrup for a couple of days, and then they were gone. And Van says, please use caution if there are pets or children in the house. And yes, he says, molasses drives fire ants out of the yard. Let's see. Well, Gary says we can thank the fire ants from killing off virtually all of our red ants, and because of that absence in the food chain, the horned lizard also, which has disappeared from the area. Gary says, which certainly distresses the TCU fans. Maggie also says the email about don't worry so much about garden variety diatomaceous earth is ignoring the issues that one would encounter if inhaling it. True, the feed grade variety, she says, used in livestock feed, doesn't have the harmful silica that the pool filter DE does, but you should still be careful not to inhale it. And that is, that'll be the last word on that, because that's why I said please be careful with this stuff. Because every year, and I'll just say every year, we talk about diatomaceous earth on the show, and we get a lot of emails about it. Just be careful with the stuff, and don't inhale it. 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Let's talk next to Dave, calling from Denton. Hello, Dave.
Hey, Jeff. How are you?
Hey, doing well.
You know, I got to tell you, if I had a dollar for every time I heard something about DE on this show,
right,
I would not
exactly.
have to work where it's I do right now.
It's a favorite topic. It's a favorite topic.
And yes, it does work, but be very careful with it. But anyway, my question is, I am an avid reader, and I'm often at the bookstores at Barnes & Noble or my local bookstore, and I often notice that a book will have a header on it that says number one New York Times bestseller.
Mm-hmm.
But this is often on the release date of the book. So my question is, how is it that it's a bestseller if it hasn't been sold up until that point? And I see this constantly because some of my favorite authors, I watch their release dates.
Sure.
And as soon as I go in there to pick up the book, it's already got this bestseller list tag on it, and I'm just, you know, to me, it's just very confusing because is there a time warp going on that I'm not aware of?
Well, Dave,
I don't see how it can be sold.
Hey, Dave, we got to go to our break, but we'll see if we get an answer for you, okay?
Okay, thank you very much. Take care.
It's anything you ever wanted to know, 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. We'll be back. It's anything you ever wanted to know on KERA in Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton. I'm Jeff Whittington. Phone number is 800-933-5372. Email address anything at kera.org. Quick program note, show's going to take a little break next week, and the week after that we'll bring you a special broadcast of Song Travels, which I know a lot of you like. But don't worry, we'll be back the first Friday in June with a fresh new live production with all of your questions and answers. But if you tune in next week or the week after and wonder where we are, don't worry. We'll be back in June. But right now, we're taking your calls at 800-933-5372. And up next is Kat calling from Dallas. Hello, Kat.
Hey there.
Hey.
I have a couple of answers for you.
Okay.
One of them is about horny toads. I am mildly obsessed with horny toads. In fact, I have one tattooed on myself, but that guy that was asking if he could relocate them, the answer is no. Part of the reason they're endangered is they're extremely territorial, and if you move them even a few feet out of the range that they're existing within, they will die, is what I'm told.
Wow. Okay.
Tell him not to try to move it. And then as far as an endangered species...
Well, hopefully he's listening, hopefully he'll hear, yeah.
There's probably a law or regulation against moving endangered species, too, but
right.
I don't know about that. I just know if you try to move them or relocate them more than just a few feet from where they're hanging out, that's bad. And the other answer I just happened to hear on the way in was that the guy asking about bestsellers books.
Yeah.
They actually have a friend that just wrote a book that may get a bestseller status, and that they take the pre-orders online or the pre-orders from requests through Barnes & Noble and all those guys, and that's calculated in with the bestseller, and it's all the first week of sales, including pre-orders.
Yeah, because the bookstores are buying the books, too. So,
yes. So they sometimes order one to be published, and then they'll ask for 20,000 extra orders, and then if they order a whole bunch of extras like that, that counts as an order for the first week.
Very good. Kat, thanks for calling.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Let's talk next to Sue, calling from Far North Dallas. Hello, Sue.
Hi, Jeff.
Hi there.
The reason I'm calling is I live near Coit and Campbell Road, and there is a gentleman who rides a bike in that area in nice weather, and what is unusual about him is that he pulls a wagon behind him, and it has a colorful whirligig that spins. And lately I've seen him with a green cape and matching visor, and he's a very fit and trim man, and he's just all over that area. And I'm just wondering, is he a children's entertainer headed off somewhere, or if anyone knows about this gentleman?
So what's the area again that you said, Coit and?
Campbell Road.
Coit and Campbell. Okay. Well, we'll see if somebody knows.
Okay. Thanks.
Maybe he listens to the show. Thanks for calling, Sue.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Up next at 800-933-5372 is Tabitha in Dallas. Hello, Tabitha.
Hi.
Hi there.
So my answer is for the guy who asked about the horny toad lizards and all that.
Yeah.
I have currently been attending the University of North Texas, and I also come back home to Dallas every once in a while. And what I've noticed is that there are these bright green lizards. So what I would recommend, they eat everything. Like, when I say everything, I mean plants, grass, ants. We haven't had ants in our lawn and where I've been living in Denton for a very long
time. These are like the little fence runners.
Exactly.
Yeah,
like
with a little red. They have the little red patch on their neck that they sort of open
those are great instead of getting horny toads, because I know that, A, you can't relocate them.
Right.
And it's really bad for it. But I recommend those. And then if you could get, there's clear geckos that also live in our garage that will eat wasps as well as red ants. So,
great. Thanks for calling, Tabitha.
Not a problem.
And good luck at North Texas. I went to North Texas. There's a bunch of North Texas folks here at KERA.
Oh,
so.
Thank you. Go Mean Green.
All right, take care. Let's see. Let's get one more on the Texas horned lizard from Jonathan in Dallas. Hello, Jonathan.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well.
And I had a little answer about them ants y'all was talking about. Over in Louisiana, we eat up with fire ants and red ants. I mean, we just infested with them. And what we do, or what I do, is everybody washes the car in Dawn dishwasher liquid every now and then.
Right.
When you get done, just dump the bucket on the ant pile. It'll kill the whole pile.
Sounds like a great suggestion.
Yeah, they won't come back. And as far as moving that lizard, if it's an endangered species, it's not going to hurt him to move him, but it is against federal law to touch an endangered species and move him out of his environment.
Very good. Well, thanks, Jonathan. Thanks very much.
All right, no problem.
Yeah, and I remember hearing something about horned lizards. You know, people were you know, it was like the coonskin cap of the kids' lizard collectible. You know, and every kid wanted to have a pet horned lizard, and that might have led to part of the problem. But if what we heard a few minutes ago about moving them really, really causing problems for them because of their territorial nature, that rings a bell too. So I'm gonna make a note to look a little bit more into it. Now, Greg in Ennis says that something like 5 years ago, he says, I heard somewhere that some conservation organization would send a breeding pair of horned lizards to someone that can certify that they had a red ant bed on the property. He says, I'm sorry, I have no clue who that was, but it sounds reasonable. He says, as a young lad in Mineral Wells back in the 60s, we used to play with red ants and horned lizards daily. He says, they were everywhere. He says, I always thought the ants were harmless. Well, I don't think they stung like fire ants do, but I remember them too down in the Kemp-Kaufman area because my grandparents had some property down there, and they were big, huge ants and huge ant mounds. Nancy is wondering about the BBC's new version of Sherlock Holmes. Does anybody have any information on if or when it will return? I know that they make those shows very, very slowly. If you think waiting for a new season of Downton Abbey is tough, well, when the season is 3 episodes long, and believe me, we hear from a lot of you about the Sherlock Holmes thing, because those seasons, I think there have been 2, have had like 3 episodes each. So they make them pretty slowly. But as far as I know, they are still going to continue to make them. But we'll see if Bill Young, maybe he's listening, or someone here can fill us in on that. Jason responded to a question we had last week about what to do with a broken lawnmower. And Jason recommended putting it on the free section of Craigslist. He says many backyard tinkerers might want to come pick it up. and try working on it or using some of the spare parts. 800-933-5372. Let's talk to Jeanette in Fort Worth. Hello, Jeanette.
Hello.
Hi there.
About the fire ants. I moved to this property about in southwest Fort Worth about 17 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And it had always had used chemicals on it, and I'm organic, and I was eaten up with fire ants. At this point, I have not seen a fire ant on this property in about 6 years.
And you're doing the organic thing now?
Totally organic.
Very nice.
Well, and I have no grass except a little dab around in the middle of the yard around a big bed. And so everything is in landscaping.
Very nice. Well, Jeanette, congratulations. That sounds beautiful.
It is. It's my very own botanic garden. I love it.
Well, thanks so much for calling.
All right. Thank you.
Line open, 800-933-5372. Email always open, anything at kera.org. Time for a few more calls. Let's go to Hay in Rockwall. Hello, Hay.
Hello there. How you doing?
Doing well.
I love your show. Listen, I've got windows that won't open and close because I'm in an older house built about 1945. It's an old house, and they painted the windows, and, of course, the paint has acted as glue and has stuck the windows together forever. So I'm wondering if there's anybody knows of any trick short of tearing the window totally apart to unstick the paint and as glue there.
I think
in the windows.
Maybe some quality time with a putty knife or even better, maybe hiring somebody to spend some quality time with a putty knife.
Oh boy, yeah.
But
that would be a hard job, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I was wondering if anybody just knows an ingenious trick.
Sure.
A magic trick.
we'll
that's
see.
That's what I'm looking for.
We'll see if we get an answer for you here in the next couple of minutes.
Okay,
all right,
thanks.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Let's talk next to Mike calling from Dallas. Hello, Mike.
Hello.
Hey there.
Yeah, I've got an answer for you about the guy that pulled the wagon.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he's a very colorful dresser. I share a Starbucks with him. He's probably the nicest guy you'll ever meet, but he is not, to my knowledge, doing anything in the way of shows for children. But I am pretty certain that he looks at people who dress the way most of us dress in Dallas as being the weird ones. He's
right.
Very comfortable wearing bright clothing, and I think he's actually a clothing designer. He reminds me of a Mexican wrestler. And he's just the most awesome, nicest guy you'll ever meet. I think he pulls the wagon just for resistance.
Oh, okay.
Just so that he gets a better workout
a little
on
more
his
training.
Bike. And yeah, he's very fit. And he's just, like I said, I think he pretty much doesn't understand why everybody's not wearing the most awesome clothing in the world. So yeah, he's a really cool guy, but nothing special. Just one of the nicest people you'll ever meet.
Good question to ponder on a Friday leading into a nice weekend. So
that's
thanks,
it,
Mike.
Man. That's
thanks.
It. Juan's cool guy.
Thanks a lot. Let's see. We got John in Dallas says, I was curious about Sherlock myself, so I looked it up recently. Season 3 will happen. He says, the creator, writer, director mentioned that indeed Sherlock will be back and it will air in the UK before it does here. He said the reason it's taking a while is because Benedict Cumberbatch and the actor who plays Watson have become big stars on their own since it first aired, and he wanted to allow them to make movies. Benedict is in the new Star Trek movie, and Watson, the guy who plays Watson, I can't think of his name right now off the top of my head. Many of you will send it in, but he was also in the British version of The Office. And he is playing Bilbo Baggins in The Hobbit. So they've been very busy, but season 3 of Sherlock will happen. David says, the gentleman with the colorful bike rider at Campbell and Coit is named Juan. He lives in that neighborhood, and he has a wife and 3 kids and can often be found driving a minivan and going to PTA meetings. He does like to get attention and often rides the bike with a trailer to Starbucks and then to the gym to work out. David confirms he works in the clothing design industry. So, very nice. 800-933-5372. Time for a couple more calls. Let's go next to Arlene in Dallas. Oh, hello, Arlene, are you there?
I am there.
Hey, go right ahead.
In reading about Harper Lee, when To Kill a Mockingbird was to be published in 2 or 3 months, she learned that it was going to be a bestseller, and she asked, how could that be? And they said that any time a book is chosen for two of the three book clubs, it's a guaranteed bestseller. Now, and I'm assuming that must still be something like that now.
Okay. Well, very good.
Okay.
Thanks. Let's get next call here from Suzanne in Dallas. Hello, Suzanne.
Hello there.
Hi there.
Well, I guess we're all interested in taxes, and that's kind of my question.
Okay.
When you buy a car from a dealer, they charge you a less percentage of tax, like 6.5%. And then when you make that sale, they do some paperwork. Usually it's tax, title, and license.
Uh-huh.
But if you buy a car from, let's say, an estate sale that normally charges a sales tax, they want to charge you 8.5%.
Or 8.25% or wherever you are.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
And so then you paid more tax, but then they don't do any paperwork. So then when you take that information and you declare how much you paid for the car, and now you're at the DMV, does the DMV recognize that you've already paid tax to an estate sale and give you credit for that, or do you pay taxes?
You pay taxes again. That is a very good question. And Suzanne, we are out of time today. Because the show ends in like 45 seconds.
Oh, no.
But you asked your question, and we'll see if we get an answer for you for next time.
All right. Thank you so much.
Hey, thanks so much for calling.
Love your show.
Hey, well, we love all of you. And I just want to say again, thanks to everybody who contributed in the last membership campaign. I mean, we wrapped it up last Friday, and we've all forgotten all about it. Because, you know, we've been back hard at work. Our news team has been covering the tornadoes this week. There's lots going on, and we're thrilled to be able to bring you the robust schedule of programs that you know and love on KERA. But we're only able to do that because of you. So thanks to each and every one of you who gave. And don't forget, the show will be on holiday next couple of weeks. We'll be back the first Friday in June with another live edition of Anything You Ever Wanted to Know. It's produced by yours truly. Shelley Canavy is our engineer. Thanks, Shelley. Thanks, Fiona Norton, for answering the phones. You can download the podcast of the show as well, and those podcasts are produced by Christine McConnell. Thanks very much, Christine. And, of course, email us your questions and answers, comments, and suggestions at anything@kera.org, or just post a comment on the anything page, kera.org/anything. Once again, my name is Jeff Whittington. You can find me on Twitter, where I will occasionally issue a tweet or two. I'm just at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. And thanks so much for listening and for writing and calling in, and have a fantastic weekend.